Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today, calling for cloudy skies, chance for some rain showers through the afternoon, and we'll have a high around 51 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it's 43, 46 in Burlington, 43 in Milwaukee, 43 also in Racine. A Kenosha man arrested after his two-month-old child was pronounced dead at their home Tuesday afternoon. Police and the fire department were called out to the residence in the 4700 block of 7th Avenue, the infant found not breathing. Efforts to revive the child proved unsuccessful. The boy's 34-year-old father, Robert Steins, taken into custody. During a bond hearing in court yesterday, prosecutors said the infant had suffered a skull fracture and blunt force trauma. Formal charges are expected to be filed next week. The death, just the latest in a number of unrelated infant deaths in the Kenosha area over the past few weeks. Police investigating four such deaths in March alone. A woman held in jail for 2 days in connection with the death of her 9-month-old daughter, but was released pending possible future charges. A chase that began in Racine with a routine traffic stop Wednesday evening resulted in a number of charges against the driver. A police officer tried to stop the vehicle for having overly tinted windows. Instead, the driver took off, led police on a chase that at times reached speeds of 50 to 60 miles per hour. At one point, the operator drove over the center of the roundabout at State and Albert Streets to avoid another car in its way. A squad car also nearly hit during that pursuit. The driver was taken into custody when his car lost a tire and stopped. Officers then went to the suspect's home, where they reportedly found marijuana, cocaine, drug paraphernalia, and three semi-automatic handguns. 25-year-old Tabiano Avila facing charges including reckless endangerment of safety, possession of marijuana with intent to deliver, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He was in court to face the charges. He'll be back for a court hearing next week. While the environmental cleanup of the Kenosha Chrysler engine plant site is the most visible these days, there are two other sites in the city that WRJN's Janet Hoff says are also undergoing remediation efforts.
The Environmental Protection Agency is cleaning the former Zizzo scrapyard, which is north of 52nd Street and next to the Boys and Girls Club. The work started last week and should be completed sometime within the next 2 months. Before the cleanup could begin, the city's redevelopment authority had to buy the property through a tax foreclosure process. The EPA is fully funding the project and will spend up to $1.9 million. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is working to clean up an isolated AMC site, sometimes referred to as the Mankowski site, after the last owner of the property. Located just south of the Edward Bain School of Language and Art, the cleanup was made possible by a joint agreement between the city, county, plus the Kenosha Unified School District. The DNR is funding the $640,000 project, which is expected to wrap up by the end of September. In both cases, no local tax dollars are being spent on the cleanup efforts. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
If the branch from a tree located on municipal government right-of-way falls on your house or vehicle, you can try filing a claim against that municipality, but it'll be denied by the governing body. And with just cause, state law says so.
The law in Wisconsin, sadly, for victims of tree branches falling is that the victim of the tree branch is the one that's responsible for the damage. You'll recall I learned that myself when a tree fell on my house about a year and a half ago. So we recommend denial.
That's Racine City Attorney Scott Letney explaining to the Finance Committee how state law works against the claim by one local resident about a branch coming down out of his vehicle and all others in a similar nature. Public being reminded about safely disposing old prescription over-the-counter medications, sprays, inhalers, ointments, creams, and other similar materials with a Medication Collection Day event tomorrow in Racine. It'll go from 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon at the Household Hazardous Waste Collection Site, which is on 21st Street west of Green Bay Road next to the landfill. You're urged to keep all medications in the original packaging or containers, but eliminate the name of who it was for. Not allowed are needles, illegal drugs, inhalers, personal care products like shampoos and lotions and soaps, biohazardous material, and aerosols. Now, if you can't make this special collection tomorrow, medication drop-offs can be made any time at the police departments in Racine, Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, Sturtevant, Waterford, and both the city and town of Burlington, plus the Union Grove Village Hall. The Walgreens on Washington Avenue and the Lakeview Pharmacy on Monument Square also accept medication drop-offs. The new version of the Sturtevant Village Board will be introduced Tuesday night of next week. That'll include the replacement to fill a trustee spot created by the April 4th election. Jamie Hoffman defeated incumbent Steve Jansen for the village presidency, which meant that Hoffman's trustee position had to be filled. Hoffman able to name Jason Ekman, an executive with BRP Company, to take that spot. Tuesday night's agenda will also include plaques being given to honor outgoing President Steve Jansen and trustee Chris Wright for their years of service. Next Monday night at 7 o'clock, it's the final meeting of the Racine Common Council in the current term. At 6 p.m., though, is going to be a committee of the whole session. And back for discussion, funding the event center study, which the council approved in March. Specifically, it's Alderman Sandy Widener's requested discussion about rescinding the March 7th council vote to approve the $600,000 for that Phase 1 study of the Lakefront Hotel and Event Center. It's not a reconsideration by legal definition, because that would have required a request by an alderman from the majority side. Work on the study started, of course, several weeks ago. City Attorney's Office indicates should the council decide to reverse its earlier vote, there would still be some financial liability regarding the hired consultant who was given an end of June deadline. Racine's Department of Public Works under a state contract will soon be installing wayfinding signs directing motorists off Washington Avenue to the S.C. Johnson Complex on 14th Street, as well as to the Wingspread site in Wind Point via downtown Main Street and 4 Mile Road. At the Public Works Committee meeting, City Engineer John Rooney explained that the right signs have to go up soon, ahead of the state putting up some similar signage along the interstate in the month of May, and well before the city's wayfinding sign project starts to unfold.
And we're flexible as to the location of these. They don't have to go in at exactly this XY coordinate. Yeah. You know, if we have to move them, you know, the idea is when the motorists are coming in, they're going to see that sign and be able to make a decision and say, oh, I want to stay on this or I want to take a turn. So we have some flexibility in the location. So we'll get these installed, and then when Corbin gets their bid documents put together and they go out, and if need be, right, we can just remove them and locate them. Again, it doesn't matter. We'll send the bill to WISDOT. They're going to pay for all this.
Greater Racine Executive Director Dave Blank noted that the two Racine area Frank Lloyd Wright tourist locations are among the six being promoted by the state along a designated trail. While immediate attention is going to be focused on the trail this year, Blank expressed there's going to be a lasting impact financially and otherwise into the 2018 tourism season as well. The annual Eggstravaganza Easter event going to be taking place tomorrow from 9 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. at the Racine Zoo. Guests can go hunting for six cluck-cluck doors located all around the zoo complex to earn special eggs that are filled with goodies. There'll also be bunny-themed events and games and snacktivities, crafts, cookie decorating, all kinds of things, all included with the regular zoo admission. Photographs with the Easter Bunny, those will also be available for $5, the proceeds to benefit the animals at the zoo. One of the most prestigious art museums in the country is in downtown Racine with some of the finest collection pieces in the world. Right now, though, through April 23rd, that facility getting all kinds of attention because of its display of marshmallow peeps in all different colors and presentations.
Lisa Englander, who heads our guest relations operations and our retail operations, wanted to do something that would bring people into the museum store around the Easter season, and she had seen that some of the newspapers in America do these competitions, but they're only online. There's nowhere to go to see the actual pieces, and so she opened this up as an idea where people would come, would submit pieces, and we would exhibit them.
On WRJN's Community Conversation, Racine Art Museum Executive Director Bruce Pepich said that the peep show idea turned out to be better than expected when it began 8 years ago. Said one of this year's more interesting themes with the peeps makes a little connection to breakfast and crime.
One of the larger pieces in the show this year is Cereal Peeps, and it's cereal characters like Captain Crunch and the Trix Rabbit and Tony the Tiger made out of peeps characters. And they're made up like serial killers with mug shots that you'd find like in the post office lobby and online. The ideas that people have are really pretty amazing.
Ram's display of peep artwork has received attention from all over the country and the world, while the artists who created them eligible to win Peepless Choice Awards. The Kenosha Small Fry basketball team won the International Small Fry Basketball Tournament at ESPN's Wide World of Sports in Orlando, Florida yesterday afternoon. A 45-43 victory over the team from Robert Taylor of Chicago Windy City. Kenosha's first international small fry title coming 45 years after that local program was first started. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.